There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And Ellie, we don't have one guest.
How many do we have?
We've got two guests.
That's twice as many. Unbelievable.
Crazy scenes.
Amazing scenes.
Amazing. We've got Anna Williamson. Hello to you, Emma.
Hi, ladies.
How are you?
Oh, I'm Treswell. I'm very much looking forward to getting down and dirty with you later tonight.
Oh, yes. Well, we are all in the nude, so that's a good start.
Yes, we are. We are looking good.
Turn up the heating and get the oil out. Okay. Clemmy.
Hello.
He's looking scared.
What an introduction. I said Clemmy. It could be any Clemmy. We're quite fond of Clemmys in this.
Yeah, we do like a Clemmy. Yes. This particular one, of course, is Telford. One of my favourites in my top five Clemmys of all time, yeah, I would say. Yes. So Anna Williamson, of course, you're a TV presenter, a mother and author of Breaking Mad, The Insider's Guide to Conquering Anxiety.
That needs to be recorded as a voiceover for my website or something.
I'm trying to get the X Factor job.
To be fair, see you've modelled yourself on that and it really works.
Yes. Clemmy Telford! You are a Facebook strategist, a blogger, a mother and a Daily Mail blater.
Yes, I am.
Yes, because you were in the thing that we were in with the fish fingers and the, hated by the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Hashtag solidarity. So, Thorne, what are we talking about tonight? What's our theme?
Well, my favourite topic, it's anxiety. Hashtag anxiety.
Now, can we, first of all, just to clear something up, can we get the pronunciation right? Because I think it's anxiety. That's how you pronounce it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when we took my first son to nursery, like the first, you know, when you're setting them in, Pete, my husband, came home and he was like, oh, it's not going very well. He dropped him off. And I was like, oh, why? And he said, well, I think he's got a bit of that separation anxiety.
Oh, wow.
And I went, what? He was like, anxiety? You know, he's got separation anxiety. And I was like, do you mean anxiety? And he was like, is that how you say it? And I was like, yes, if you're not a moron. So
that'll just really help with his anxiety.
I've not heard that. No. I think I might have to steal that courtesy of you.
Anxiety.
Oh, anxiety.
You're welcome. So, but before we get into all the anxiety, tell us about your family. Let's start with you, Anna.
So I have a husband, which is nice.
It's
not essential, but nice to have.
Nice to have for now. We got married
like a strimmer. You could get away with a lawnmower. You don't really need one.
It's breaking down. I'm going to chop them in for you. What do you mean? Yeah. So I got married a couple of years ago, which was all very nice. I did the ultimate cliche, and I married my personal trainer.
Oh, I know.
It was slightly embarrassing for both of us, really. But
can I ask, at what point did it transition from personal training to personal
life?
Training.
Well, I was training with him actually for a specific tele project. Do you remember the diving show Splash?
Yes!
And if you remember that, well, I was in that.
Oh,
and
amazing!
And I threw myself off 10 metre diving boards, as you do. And he was responsible for getting me to look vaguely unfat in a swimming costume because I really didn't look very good before. So he trained me. That was lovely. Then we split professionally. I went off and did the show. Lovely. And the show finished. I'd come out of a long term relationship at that point. And then it wasn't until a little bit while later I was like, oh, kind of miss that guy. And so I sort of, you know, did that classic, now we've finished the training, why don't we, you know, go out for a drink? But anyway, so long story short, we got together.
No.
We want the details, the lycra, the sweating.
Because he'd seen you in the night. He knew what he was getting, yeah, really. Yeah. So how long did you wait from first date to go
doing
to
the
work?
How's your father? Actually, it was quite a while. It was more him. I'm not going to lie. I was a bit of a, you know, I was going for it. I was like, come on. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
And they were like, he does this thing called assisted stretching. Right. So, and then his clients. So he'd be lying.
Screw anxiety. Like, this whole podcast is
about this shit.
Exactly. So we do this thing where, you know, lie on a mat, and you know, you kind of like get your leg up a bit, and then it's like stretch it, you know, and then it's like, and breathe in, and then stretch
it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he's doing that.
That's right. And then
like,
they put their penis in you, and then
it's moving around for a while, and there it goes. And I was like, God, this is amazing for £50 an hour. Bargain. But I was like, God, this is bad. I really fancy him. We basically figured out that we were both getting on a bit. We both were going to get married and have kids at some point. We would probably do for each other. Let's give it a go. So we got married.
You'd nearly seen each other naked already. So
already.
Why not? So, Clemmie Telford, how long was it before you slept with your personal trainer?
Every time I see you, you end up asking me these questions.
She didn't sign up for this.
I'm 29 weeks pregnant. Sex isn't high on my agenda.
But tell us about your family.
I have two boys and a husband, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. I've got a son. Yeah,
oh, yes, that's right, you're a mum.
That helps. I'm a mum as well. I've got a 14-month-old called Enzo. Yes. Move on, Clemmie.
I have two boys and I'm really pregnant. And the last time I was here, I think I was pregnant but didn't know. So I think you were the last time I got pissed.
Oh my God.
On this sofa.
A lot of people have got pregnant on this sofa. Shall we get into it then? Shall we get into the anxiety?
Yes, we should. We'll make a splash. We're going to dive in. Anna, yes. See what I've done?
1-0 there, Helen.
There's Daryl, Anna.
Yeah. Oh, okay, 1-1.
We've got you both on because you both have spoken so brilliantly, honestly, and frankly, just a lot about anxiety.
It has been a lot, actually.
There's been a lot of chat.
Yeah, my publicist actually last week, she went, do you think we've rung this to death now? And I was like, you might have a point. I think the message is out there now. I mean, obviously, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge promoter of mental, you know, health awareness, and it's something that I've been doing for, God, about 10 years. That's when I first sort of had my, you know, my blips, and that's why I wrote a book about it, and that's why my God, when you're at school, what are you going to be when you grow up?
Mm.
I don't know about you girls, you know, where, you know what you, with what you're doing, but God, whenever would you ever go, yes, I'm going to become a mental health campaigner.
And go on Splash. That's my dream.
And shag my personal trainer and have an Italian child. You know, if you just can't.
Honestly, two of those are on my, like, bucket list. At least two.
I mean, I do look fun. I think, God, wow, that's been an interesting sort of 10 years. But yeah, I didn't know what mental health even was when I was 25, and I was presenting kids shows, and I had the most horrendous experience with a boyfriend at the time, and I was just had loads of things. I think we can all identify with loads of things kept piling up on top of me. I was a big people pleaser. I was always saying yes to things, you know, terrified about letting people down. You know, all this stuff was happening. Worked with some pretty sort of oppressive people. And something had to give. And I basically, what I then found out later on were panic attacks. But I was having the most horrendous of panic attacks all the time. And I didn't tell anyone because I thought, I didn't know what the hell they were. I just thought it was me losing my mind.
At 25.
Yeah. Mm. And they were so bad. And I was having them, well, at the height of them, I was having maybe 15, 20 a day.
So
I wasn't sleeping, and it just gets worse, doesn't it?
So what did that fit for anyone who's not had one? What is your, I mean, is it different for each person? Panic attack, I'm assuming. How was it for you?
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, y'all know, Clemmie, you know a lot about anxiety, obviously, as well. You know, a panic, I'd just be interested to know how it feels for you. But everyone can have different symptoms, but a lot of people do say have the same symptoms. So, For me, it's shortness of breath. It's like living through a sort of bit of a fog. You sort of, where I describe it, you know that sort of feeling when you're sort of in a swimming pool or underwater and everything distorted. Goes a bit foggy and a bit distorted, visually as well as audibly. That sort of happens. I want to get the hell out of wherever I am. That's the fight or flight. I cannot physically be where I am. Normally sweat. I normally need to crap myself. That's always, isn't it just the worst?
But then that spirals, doesn't it?
Then it spirals.
Like, this would be the worst time.
This would be the worst thing to shit. But yeah, exactly. Then that gets even worse. And then a lot of people, so many people actually are admitted to A&E thinking they're having a heart attack. Yeah. Because I think that's the best way of trying to describe it to someone that's never had one before.
It's very much like when you've had too many coffees, basically.
Completely.
But unprompted.
And I was reading your amazing blog, and you're absolutely right. If you're prone to anxiety, just stop at one coffee. I have to have one coffee in the morning and no more for the day. Because you say one more than one, the heart starts to go because your heart palpitations start, and you just lose your shit, don't you?
Yeah.
So it's horrible.
So is that the same experience?
Very similar. For a really bad phase, I had a lot of panic attacks, but I think that panic attacks and anxiety are still two different things. Anxiety is just that low level kind of feeling a bit wired and anxious, for want of a better word, really. Because it doesn't always have to spiral into panic attacks, does it?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, anxiety, we don't want to get all... Johnny, you're boring on this show.
No, man, do some science.
We love a fact. But we all have anxiety, right? Yeah. We need anxiety. It's good because it is our inbuilt protective mechanism. We've all got it from caveman days. That's why everyone bangs on about the fight or flight. If you haven't heard that, it's because you either want to fight the threat or flight, flee it, get away. That's why you sort of have that massive rush of adrenaline and you just don't know what to do with it. But we don't actually really need it anymore as we've evolved. We don't really need to be fighting tigers and all that kind of stuff. But we need anxiety. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't, you know, if my son was, you know, wandering around a car park and I wasn't anxious that I'm getting run over, that'd be a bit bad, wouldn't it? But it's when when a lot of people do ask about this, but when does it become a thing? And a lot of people, quite rightly, are challenging, or are we just hiding under this big umbrella of, ooh, I feel a bit anxious? But it's when normal everyday anxiety becomes just unnecessary and you're anxious about things you shouldn't be anxious about.
I think it's when you become anxious about being anxious.
Yeah.
There's suddenly a tipping point when you're predicting your own stress.
Exactly. And that's often generalised anxiety disorder is kind of what sometimes that can spiral into. It's anxious for being anxious. It's the fear of the fear. And at my height, I was anxious about choosing what to eat for dinner. I mean, it was that bad, it would cause such absolute sweaty palm inducing anxiety, and that isn't normal. So I always say to people that if you're just general everyday activities, or you know, even, you know, with your kids and stuff, if your anxiety about, it's normal to be anxious, but if it is getting out of hand and you are anxious for no reason, that is where you need to take a little look at what is going on.
So for you, Clemmie, when you look back, was there a moment now that you recognise that was the tipping point?
There was definitely a point when I thought, this doesn't feel like me, because I've written it in blog posts, but I've done loads of scary shit. You know, I've skied, I've got up on big stages, and then you suddenly find yourself being concerned about getting on the tube and you're like, this doesn't feel right. And I just, exactly like we're talking about, I was predicting it, and like, to get on the tube, I needed water and chewing gum and this, and it becomes...
And to sit in a certain seat
How is this that elaborate? And then when you lose sight of yourself, and then that's when you know. And then I went to doctors and that changed everything.
Oh, okay. How?
Because, first of all, you walk in and you feel like it's the most difficult admission to ever make, but what I've learned is that they would have seen however many mental health patients that day, and they were just like, okay, they dealt with it as if I was going in with an ear infection, and helped me and got me some treatment, and that was that, really. As soon as you say, oh, I've got a problem, and it's not treated as being anything that weird, which is what we're talking about, normalising it, then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's probably not even the weirdest problem that day. The day before, I came in and went, I think I'm Jimi Hendrix. Yes.
I'm having a panic attack on the tube. She's like, all right, we can deal with it.
Actually, you're so right, because I went to see a doctor as well, and again, it was an absolute game changer. And I went in absolutely strung out and didn't know what the hell to do.
They're going to go on and admit you.
Yeah, that's it. Going to section you, you know, what is going on. And I was so stressed at this point. And as you say, I was nothing. And he was so calm. And I obviously told him how I felt, which a good time to feel, you know, and we come from a family that naturally don't really talk about their feelings. And it felt really cathartic. And he was just quite, in a good way, he was like, oh, yes. Oh, what you've got is this. Seen this about. And I was like, what? And I remember thinking, and actually saying, what, you mean other people feel like this? And he was like, yeah, about 18 million, you know. And I, really? And he went, oh, yes, you've got generalised anxiety disorder and panic disorder. It's completely normal. Tell me about your life. Oh, you've got, you know, yeah, crap
exactly.
boyfriend.
That's exactly that's what it. They did to me. Have you got anything
not
that's worrying
really.
You?
Yeah. Because, this, and this. Oh, yeah, that's a bit crap, actually. Oh, that work's slightly worrying me. This is happening. No, my diet's rubbish. No, I haven't slept properly. I'm saying yes to 4 parties in a night.
Right. Can't understand yeah. why.
Can't understand
what did you have for lunch?
Yeah.
Coffee sandwiches.
What's your point?
Yeah, and a bottle of wine. You know.
What do they actually do? What's the
they score you, and it's when it becomes totally irrational. Because I think, as you say, if your kids are in a threatening situation or you have got a big presentation, that's all perfectly normal to feel.
Yeah, we all have disturbed sleep the night before a big presentation. That's normal.
But it's when the getting on the tube, which. Like at my height, I was just like thought being stuck in a tunnel on the tube was the worst thing in the world. But actually, it wouldn't be very pleasant. But you look around; nobody really wants to be stuck underground. But I was seeing it as
moles,
like...
wombles. Apart from that, yes. You're right.
And so, what were the steps? Like you, so you had your initial. You both had your initial meeting with the doctors.
Everyone is unique, and it's really important to remember that I'm actually a therapist anyway myself now, and it's important that everyone isn't treated the same. Because everyone has such a unique complex layer of what is caused that whatever causes yours is Clemmy will be completely different to mine, but yet we will empathise with each other. It's important to know as well that actually most GP surgeries have a GP, hopefully, that is slightly more mental health trained than others perhaps in the practice. So it's useful to, when you do go to the GP, ask for one that does actually recognise that and is a bit more trained, because it's not actually it is now apparently going to be mandatory training for GPs, but it hasn't been. But for me, I hadn't slept for 3 days. I was at this point 25 years old. I'm not even joking. So I talk about it in Breaking Mad, the book. I was in bed with my mum because I was like, I can't cope anymore. And at the time, I was hosting a number one kids show. And it was, I remember just thinking, oh my God, what is wrong with me? Like, this is just insane. You know, that's all I kept feeling. But I, went into work, couldn't cope anymore. And for me, it was the big, it's the small things. It was one person who wasn't rushing around, stopped, looked at me, who I work with, and went, are you all right? And right time, right place. You know what it's like? You get one person that does a, little hand on the shoulder.
What, really?
And I just couldn't keep it in any longer. Mm. And I was like, no, burst into tears. I was backdoored in an Addie Lee out of the studios. Quick, get rid of her. Come back when she's,
Priory, better. Priory.
It really was. Speed dial. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Signed off work,
yeah, indefinitely. And it was only because my mum's worked in medical industry, NHS and private healthcare for 40 years. And it just happened to be friends with a fellow PA, fellow medical secretary, who worked for a consultant psychiatrist who specialised in anxiety disorders. So, not really knowing what the hell to do, it was like, can I see him? Yeah, he's 130 quid an hour. Don't care, let's pay it.
Yeah.
Got in, the dude changed everything, and a mixture of therapy and medication for me worked. So, it was a mixture of CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is what I'm now a therapist in. Hypnosis was really good. EFT is another one, emotional freedom technique. But they're all these different therapies that sometimes you just
get an acronym. That's what we're saying.
Get an acronym.
Different ones for different times.
I went straight into
CBT, which is coping strategies. Yes. So that is just to stop you doing that spiraling thing that we all do and learning to bring it back. So that helped me cope in the short term. Then talking about it a lot. So as soon as you go to people, oh yeah, I've been feeling anxious. I mean, literally everybody, and then that becomes a dialogue. And then a few years later, I then saw a psychotherapist and got kind of underneath some of the problems. But there's different, you do need some things to get you out of that place immediately.
Yeah, you need quick fix coping
techniques. Because you don't want to be talking about your childhood when you can't get out of the house.
For me, it was a bit like the same, and I had to have short-term medication just to get me to sleep.
And that's it, a couple of good nights sleep.
Oh my God, it was a game changer. So he was like, right, you're knackered and strung out. Here's some lovely benzodiazepine, medication. brilliant. It gave me sleep, basically.
And just stopped the thoughts. I mean,
stopped the thought. It blocks everything. Mm. And I wasn't fuzzy on it. I didn't feel, you know, groggy. Just got some sleep back. And, you know, they were only short term, which I think is right, because they are addictive, because they do give you a good night's sleep. But then he put me on a low dosage of antidepressants as well, which also work as an anti-anxiety drug. Mm. Escitalopram is the drug. So, yeah, we sort of, once I was feeling well enough and had some sleep, we then kind of got underneath the core issues, which weren't actually that major, but just, you know, learned behaviour I'd picked up from being a child.
But it's funny, because my crisis point was a really similar age, and I wonder whether that is a classic point when you're like, you go, you know, I went to uni, you know where you are, and then you get spat out into adulthood, and you're just like, what? And then, yeah, and then it's hard.
So was it before you had kids?
It was around the time that I got married. Sorry, Ben. And I mean, I remember having anxiety for it. I definitely remember panic attacks in my teens, but didn't know what they were. Mm-hmm. But it was, a few years into my first job, just after we got married, bought a house, just suddenly, like, life's responsibilities had suddenly piled up. One minute you're having fun at uni, and the next you're, like, a grown-up. Mm. And it's quite hard to make that transition, I think.
Because you wrote about it on your blog, Mother of All Lists, and this great piece, which went viral, I think, because it was one of the most moving things for me, was you put this picture of you with, like, a group of people and you look really jolly and trendy and cool, and you're like, in this photo, I just felt dreadful.
Awful. I know exactly what picture it is. And there's several, actually, from all through my life. And that the thing that I have learned about all mental health, but particularly anxiety, it's the people least likely to. So if true. You were to pick, particularly with women, look at them and think, look at those girls, they've got their shit together. Probably they haven't. Yeah. And so it's, therefore, you're not putting yourself in a category of what you think a mental health person looks like, because it's often the people who are, on the surface, looking like things are going great.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of chat about, you know, Instagram, which obviously we love a bit of Instagram.
We all love Instagram.
You
know,
yes.
Instagram.
Love a bit of Insta.
And you know, we get asked quite a lot if there's a danger that Instagram is feeding women's anxiety. And do you think that's true?
Well, it could be. I don't know, because we sit in a similar place where we like a bit of honesty. Mm. And there is definitely this front that go on Instagram. But for me, every time I've spoken about mental health on Instagram, it's been unbelievable. And people have come up. Like today, I said I woke up feeling a bit funny, and just like the outpouring from people, and again, normalising it.
I love seeing real honest women, but I love seeing women doing shit well.
Yeah.
And I think we need to stop.
And you can be doing both.
Like, I can be doing both.
I've nailed it at work for a week and at home, and then come Friday night, be spat out on the floor.
Exactly.
And
social media can only fuels anxiety, but depending on what people are looking for.
Yeah.
And I think that has to be responsible. Yeah, responsible for the person that is searching on Instagram. And if they're only searching,
we all do it though. You know, when you're in the lowest ebb is when you go deepest into social media.
Of course you do. Exactly.
And then when you're happy, you're just like, oh, I'm not bothered by that. But it's we've got good taste.
Hashtag white company. Oh God, my house will never look like that.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But do you think motherhood changed your anxiety?
When I had Enzo, I had a really good grip on it. And then I got pregnant, and I really wanted the baby. I've wanted a baby for 20 years. Oh, this is lovely. I now know I was starting to feel the old black dog of the anxiety and depression during the pregnancy phase, actually. But I didn't really know if that was just the hormones or what. I'd had to come off any medication as well because the doctor told me to, because it wasn't very good for the baby. And then when I had him, I mean, it didn't help that I went 2 weeks overdue, at which point I was just sky high with anxiety about the for me, everything. It was everything, the control.
But your hormones had peaked.
Oh my God, so peaked. And I wish as well, we wanted a surprise and we didn't know he was going to be a boy until he came out. But I do wish with hindsight that we had chosen to find out, because I think I would have bonded better with him.
For control.
Because I didn't know what he was going to be. So I didn't really have this sort of vision of him, because he could have been anything and could have had any name at that point.
He probably wouldn't be a dog, but yeah, I get
could
what you're saying.
Could
have been a dog.
Could have been one or the other. But when I had him, the birth was so horrendous, and I actually wasn't even awake for the birth in the end, because it all went so bloody wrong. Through no fault, other than just... On the day,
welcome to childbirth.
Exactly. On the day, he wasn't bloody coming out. But you've had two.
And he came out, and he wasn't even Italian. Yeah. He was Irish. We didn't know what to do. He had a shamrock. He was wearing a tam o' shanter. Disaster.
That was the main point of my anxiety. I think, God, the first thing of having him was, is that it? And I was numb inside. There was no feeling.
But that's a Hollywood ideal.
Isn't it?
You feel this rush of love. Now you think, thank fuck I'm not in labour anymore.
Just thank God. And
get me some toast.
Yeah, get me some toast.
Get me that fable toast.
Best meal you ever eat. But then that dead feeling didn't sort of leave. And then that was sort of, then what happened was more, then the anxiety just walloped me on day three. And it all came flooding back like it was 10 years ago. And I was terrified of him, terrified my life was over, terrified in general. But that was the mixture. I was severely anemic. And that's the other thing. Severe anemia actually can feel like anxiety, because you get the heart palpitations and it has very similar
symptoms. Eat some meat!
You're exhausted. You're
knackered.
This is really hard when they come round the health visitors and say, oh, "So how are you feeling?" And it's
terrible.
Like, well, you're feeling shit, aren't you? Like, even because I don't know if I had postnatal depression. I don't think I did. But you're exhausted, life has been flipped upside down,
and
you don't know what to think.
You don't know what to think, do you? And I don't think I had. I don't think anything can prepare you for that feeling. I mean, you know, you girls are a few kiddies in from me, if I had another, I think I've vaguely got an idea of what to do now.
Mm. Yes. Don't say, can I have some more morphine? Say, I'm still in quite a lot of pain. Yeah. That's my top tip.
Okay. Noted. It was horrendous, but again, I knew the sign straight away. I knew that a week in, I was rejecting my son. I wasn't rejecting him. There was just no real bond. It hadn't really kicked in. And I'll be completely open and honest with you girls, and it's something I haven't really told anybody, but it was that, this is why I knew it was bad, which is why I had to call back my lovely doctor, because I actually sat there for a fleeting moment and wondered what the adoption process was, mm-hmm. and if someone was better qualified than me to look after him. And even, thank God, through that fog, I realised, this isn't right.
Yeah.
This is not right.
This is an alarm bell.
So I rang up my doctor and we had a great chat. We had a phone consultation just because I couldn't physically get into a hospital. And we had a really good chat and I said to him, I need to go back on my medication. I know I need to be back on it. I'm so far that way. That would mean I'm going to have to stop breastfeeding. I was okay with that because I felt that it was just better in the long run. Exactly. Happy, you know, if I was going to start rejecting my son, I needed, that was better than where his milk source was. So I did that, got a medication, had some therapy. Boom, the light was at the end of the tunnel and it really did start to get better. Mm. I know other mum friends that have waited 6 months.
But I do go back to the point, it's hard to know whether it's mental health or whether it's your perceived idea of what that time is like, because it's not idyllic. Like, you think you're going to get a baby and love it, and it's like I definitely fell in love with Bertie over a series of months. It's very hard to love a thing. Especially if you've been through a traumatic labour.
Yeah, me and my science, I knew I'm a bit of science, but there's a reason for that. You know, your oxytocin, you know, if you've had a traumatic birth, you know, the love hormone isn't present, or it's crashed low. Some people have, you know, higher levels than others, and I think mine was probably, rock bottom. I think women need to be more honest, and it's not to scaremonger anybody that's having kids,
but just to
say it's all right. Yeah, it's okay because your vag hurts. Well, yeah, and also well then
you're suddenly having the most awful conversations with your husband and everyone alike. Suddenly 3 a.m. you hate each other.
Oh my god, the anger! I hated him. You just look at him and think,
I've just made a human with you, and I hate
you. And I can't. And he looks more like you than he does me. Yeah. And that really pissed me off.
Stuck together now.
I know. I don't know why that really. Everyone goes, "Oh, he's so like his dad." And I think Pop was like, "Have I bloody gave birth to him?
That's very annoying.
I've got a penis too. No way."
I always say to new mothers that I have a blanket rule about the things you say before 6 a.m. and I could not be more angry with a human being than I was.
But just looking at the
and it like he brought the wrong whites or brought the wrong muslin square. All of it. It's like, why are you fucking with me?
Yeah, or
like
being asleep when you're awake.
it's the fury. Oh,
and how he just easily dropped off to sleep. I was just like, I want to kill you. Yeah,
they have to change the nappy, that's it.
I know. And we there were times where the nudge was a lot more than a nudge.
The knee was connected. I was saying to a friend of mine who's pregnant with her first, and she actually, bless her, she keeps herself to herself. She's quite introvert in that way. And she admitted the other week that her and her husband are having the most horrendous rows. And she said, I'm so angry with him. And I was like, that's totally normal. The amount of times we screamed at each other during the later parts of pregnancy and early weeks of having him, that I hate you, I want a divorce. We even got down to a particularly interesting row where we were genuinely fighting each other's, like our own case, in a divorce court, who would get custody of the baby. We are screaming at each other, I would get the baby because he came out of me. He was going, but you're a nutter, so you would get him, I'd get him. You know,
but you can laugh now.
I mean,
as a judge, I find that very hard to make that decision myself.
I mean, it really is six of one, isn't it?
I think I'll get Rinder involved in that one.
But no, I think, because we're talking about this whole impact of motherhood, it does send you into a spin. And also, I feel it's more public than any other time in your life, that first baby. Because, with the social media thing, you're announcing the birth, you're announcing, I am a new mother.
And everyone's suddenly got an opinion, grandparents, everybody's chipping in on your life.
The fucking Sainsbury's line next
year. And I can tell you, if you do have more kids, it is so liberating just not to give a shit, to know what's coming.
Sort of going back to, in terms of practical stuff, so maybe if someone's feeling, like, anxious, but they don't know if they need medication, or they haven't got £130 to see a psychotherapist, or, like, what are some... Are there some practical stuff we can do?
Quit the coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the booze. But as a nation, like, going and buying a coffee, which has probably got a double shot of espresso as standard, which I only realised when... that is a lot of caffeine, and it sends you bonkers. Booze, exercise, or get outside whether you're running or just walking somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like this morning, I woke up knackered and had a coffee early, and I knew as I was putting it to my lips, this is gonna kick me. But you can't help it because you often reach for it. Same as booze.
Is tea as bad?
It doesn't give you a hit in the stomach.
It's like a tenth of the caffeine. Yeah. Or something. So you can literally have 10 cups of tea.
And you can just tell from the way it makes you feel.
It's important to just cope with it. And I don't... People go, how do you get cured? I think cure just brings pressure. What does pressure bring? It brings anxiety. The one thing you could do right now, so if you were telling me you were feeling anxious right now, I always say to people, it sounds like a cliche, but breathing is key. When we're anxious, we breathe very shallowly. We breathe just literally from our throat upwards. We're not taking enough oxygen. So just taking that deep breath fully down to your stomach, and I talk of a 7-11 breathing technique, which is breathing in your nose for 7 seconds, out through your mouth for 11, and it just regulates everything, your heart rate, and it just pulls everything down, and it helps you just be a little clearer. You've mentioned it, Clem, you're on a thing. Turn that bloody phone off, because it's such a good one, isn't it?
Move it away,
Yeah, I do that.
Keeping yourself wired as well.
Yeah, it really is.
And also, in the short term, what can you change immediately? So if you're looking at your week and you've got too many things in the diary, and that is actually what's spinning it, get rid of the one. You know, it's as simple as that, isn't it? Because you can sometimes, I can think, I go through my week and go for the bit that is making my tummy turn. And if that's the root of the anxiety...
You're so right. Get just it out.
Cancel it.
Just get it out.
Mm. Don't do that podcast with those fucking idiots in the cat suits. What a waste of time.
Oh my God, that's the best thing I've ever seen. I just love it.
Good.
All right. So just...
so basically, no coffee, no booze, cancel shit.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's great stuff, isn't it?
And yeah.
And talk to your mates. And like, I know it sounds, it does sound.
Or post about it on Instagram.
Yeah, post about it on Instagram. Get it out. Whether it's, or just have a bloody good moan to someone about it, because it does feel better when you say what.
When you talk it out, you're like, oh, fuck,
that's it.
That's the bit that was bothering me. It's such an easy solution.
It really is.
Ah,
I know.
Do you feel zen now?
I've been breathing 7-Eleven for the last 3 minutes, so I'm absolutely grand.
It's
I'm
really feeling, good, Ellie.
It's great, mate. It's
do
great.
Do it on stage.
Oh well, no. See, the thing is, like, before Ellie and I go on stage, we just fart a lot.
Yeah,
and like really want to do massive poo.
But that's but anxious poo.
No, but there's a brilliant TED talk about it. I can't think who by about. How in that point your adrenaline going is about to give you wings to be a brilliant. So sometimes, like, I always call them school disco nerves, but before a night out you can think that anxiety is bad, but actually it's excitement. And the same, that adrenaline you get before you get on stage.
That's the good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's to be embraced, and it makes you bring your best.
One of the best things anyone ever said to me was when I was like a new comedian, just quite nervous, and I was just, and I said to this, I think it was Sam Carrington, I said, oh, I was quite nervous, I just feel, oh, and he just went, no, that's good, that's the cavalry. And I was like, what? And he's like, look, I think of it as the cavalry coming over the hill. This is your body releasing the right chemicals that you need. And actually now, still sometimes visualise just this little army of people on horses, and you just say to yourself, ah, that's the cavalry, here we go.
But if you lost that, then you'd lose the kick, you know, you stop giving a shit. So that's the thing, you don't want to get to this place where you don't have all those feelings, because excitement is a good thing.
Well, look, why don't we, you know, we've talked a lot about anxiety, let's talk about happiness.
I think it's a really good, I've got a section that I've created called Why Are You So Fucking Happy?
Let's start with you, Helen Fawn.
Today, Australia voted for marriage equality. So,
yay! Well done, Australia. Well done, cousins.
I know. So my sister and her partner of many, many, many years can get married. Aww. And that's making me very, very happy.
Yeah. Anna, why are you so fucking happy?
I am fucking happy this week for two reasons. Firstly, because my son broke through the 5 a.m. wake up, and he pulled a 7:30 a.m. yesterday.
Come on! On you, Enzo.
Yeah, come on, Enzo. And sorry about the blatant plug, but last night, after months of headaches, I finished my second book, Breaking Mum and Dad, and I cannot wait now for that to be released in March.
Oh, congratulations!
Yay, she wrote another book!
I wrote a book.
Amazing scenes.
Oh, I'm really racking my brains for smacking.
Come on, Telford.
You hit another week pregnant.
I'm another week pregnant, and I had my first Christmas.
You had your what?
No, it's not.
Come on, Telford, what?
You had your first.
She's lost it, she's gone.
She's so good.
Her water's broken.
Can I say it for you? She had her first Christmas sandwich.
Deck the halls with ham and turkey. La la la.
I love stuffing in a sandwich and cranberry sauce.
I'm so pleased for you. I thought you were going to say, I'm so fucking happy because I'm having my new baby. But no, I had my first Christmas sandwich.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Was it a boy or a girl? What kind of Christmas sandwich?
Come on,
I didn't go for the deluxe one, my husband said.
No, it's not. It's only November. Don't go crazy.
It wasn't a triple.
But husband went.
Where was it from? Where did you buy it?
From Eat.
Oh, it's a good one.
And a mince pie bar.
A mince pie bar?
Have you not had one?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is it like a Ginster's buffet bar? Mm.
It's a bit like a flapjack size, but it's a mince pie.
What's wrong with a mince pie?
I don't know.
I'm glad that made you so happy.
That's a thing of joy. That's a thing.
I am so fucking happy because of the Phoenix comic.
Yes,
okay.
Ellie.
Now, full disclosure, okay, they're not paying us to say this, but they have given us free subscriptions to their comic.
Yes.
So our kids could try it out. Ooh. And fuck me, I never knew my child liked reading this much. Turns out all you do is put pictures and they like reading. It's amazing.
Have
it's
you
brilliant.
Got pictures in your book,
how
Ella?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, so the Phoenix, you know how you go to the supermarket, Ellie, and he goes, I want a comic, and now we can go... It's coming on Friday. Yeah. Shut your fucking faces.
Yeah, and it does. I love that it doesn't come with the little, as I like to call them, the choking hazards. Like just the tiny bits of crap, and it's not $4.99, and it's just great.
So what I really like about it, but this has got different authors, illustrators, and it's not all packed with advertising or any of that sort of shit. And the kids will read it again and again and again. And what I like about it, I found it in the loo, Willie.
Oh.
So the kids have loved it that much, they've taken it to the loo with them. I think that's...
Will has, who knows?
That's weird! He looks at a phone like the rest of us do. The Phoenix comic are being very kind and giving you, the listener, a discount code.
So you can get a discount. You can get a 15% discount off of the Phoenix. If you want to buy it for a Christmas gift, you go to thephoenixcomic.co.uk and you get 50% off if you enter the code SCUMMY15.
That's SCUMMY15.
Good job.
Right.
But you have to do it by December the 24th because
that's
then
for Christmas.
Obviously,
yes.
Santa sends out all the issues of the. He does all the admin for the subscriptions and he just gets knackered by it. So after that, you can't be doing with it.
If you've got kids, they will love this. It's a great thing. And we heard about the Phoenix through word of mouth, like other parents who said, this is a great comic. Yeah. So
we're not just saying that. We are just saying it, but we're not just saying it.
Yes.
We actually mean it.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, done.
I'm buying one.
You're welcome to Phoenix. Now, should we do Scummy Mummy Confessions, Ellie?
Let's do it. Who would like to go first? Is anyone burning up?
I've got one.
Go on, Telford.
I had a low moment just before we left where I had to ask Woody, my youngest, whether what was on the sofa next to him was poo or peanut butter.
Amazing.
It was poo.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
At least I didn't do
the old snitcheroo.
No, it's great, but we almost bought a snazzy loaf sofa and we went for an IKEA one, and time again, it proved it was the right decision.
Yeah, decision. Right. We are the Tossers that bought a Dove Grey John Lewis little number 2 weeks before we had a baby.
Oh,
spot
mate.
The newborn dickheads. I know.
Oh,
we
dear.
Are, it is now brown.
Oh. Anna, do you have a Scummy Mummy's confession?
Yes, I do, actually, for this week. I had to, I'm juggling a little bit of work, but I couldn't get into town for a meeting, so love a conference call.
Mm.
But had a little conference call. Ooh, just had the morning coffee. So there were 15 people on this conference call. It's a biggie. So I went and had my morning dump.
Mid-conference call.
But forgot to mute.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't until a friend of mine who was on the conference call text me and said, you might want to unmute yourself.
Was it a farty one?
It was a farty
one.
It was you know, the toilet bowl reverberation one.
Oh, dude.
So I did a poo during a conference call.
Yes. Amazing.
I thank you.
That is extraordinary.
Does that make you feel embarrassed or just...
Not really,
she's proud of it. Her face, she's proud of it, quite rightly.
I'm quite proud.
We're all humans, we've all done it.
But do you often find, like, if you do a poo too quick, you're a bit disappointed? Like,
it's all over too fast.
Yeah, don't you find that? You're like, no, I need another couple of minutes with this guy.
Yeah, especially since giving birth.
I might do a toilet-related one. So the other day, I was doing a poo, and then an important email came through that I had to action. So I thought, like, well, no one else is at home. I'll just get some work done. And then when I went to get up, my leg had fallen asleep. So I limped out. Thought, this is a new low. I mean, I've had Instagram thumb and now I've got, like, bad toilet leg.
Well, there we go. I think that's about it, Thorn.
I think we've solved anxiety, which is great.
Yes, we've fixed that.
Anxiety.
You're welcome. Yes. Next week we'll be doing sexism and global warming. So we'll fix those.
In your face, Brian Cox.
Yes. You wish you were. Anna, where can people buy your book?
Breaking Mad, The Insider's Guide to Conquering Anxiety, Amazon, Bloomsbury, and it is in most bookshops. And then the next book is coming out and is available to pre-order, which is Breaking Mum and Dad, The Insider's Guide to Parenting Anxiety. So just, they're all about anxiety. They're very honest and open, very anecdotal, and they're an easy read with lots of pictures.
Thank God.
Pictures are good.
Yes. Yes. And where can people follow you?
So Instagram, it's at Life Coaching by Anna. Twitter, it's A Williamson TV, but it's at Life Coaching by Anna, which is my Instagram. And then it's obviously Facebook, Anna Williamson Official, and all the usual guff.
Clemmy Telford, what are you hawking?
I'm not. Christmas sandwiches. I'm going to get free Christmas sandwiches.
I'll rephrase it. Clemmy Telford, where can people follow your business?
I'm at Clemmy_Telford on Instagram, and my blog is motherofalllists.com.
.co.uk.biz.org.
Don't know. Mother of All Lists in Google will get you there.
Yeah. .sweden.
That's what I did, and it got me there.
Our book, Scummy Mummies, still in print. Makes an ideal Christmas gift, much like the Phoenix comic. Does it not, Helen Thorne?
It is, and currently on the Amazon, it was £5.97.
I mean,
really, really cheap. And come and see us at our live shows. We're touring the country both this year in 2017 and the next, 2018.
I like that you clarified what the numbers of the years were, in case people weren't sure.
Yes.
That's good. That's handy.
Yes.
Handy info. You can follow us at Scummy Mummies on the Instagram and the Twitter and all the things.
Yes.
And that's it, isn't it?
Please rate, review and subscribe to our podcast. That would be awesome.
Yes, that if you give us one Christmas gift, rate and review and subscribe, and then like gold, frankincense and myrrh. Anna and Clemmy, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your anxiety.
Thank you, girls. Pleasure. Never have I spoken about anxiety in quite this way, and I loved it.
Oh, excellent. Until next time. Bye.
And I didn't eat it anyway.
Ah, seems horrible. No wonder you didn't eat it.
And I will eat it, but then I had to look at Instagram while he put the kids to bed.
Kind of soup.
What's that?
What kind of soup?
Chicken vegetable.
Nice.
From the roast chicken and a bowl of the bones.
Nice. Which is nice. Did you actually?
I mean, actually, you throw that away in a couple of days.
Yeah. It's a really good bread. That's what makes it.
And a lot of salt.
Butter.
Lots of butter.
Yeah, nice. And some pasta. And potato. And also some steak.
Feta.
Then a pizza.
Just a dip in. Then it becomes good.
And then on a cake.
I'm so glad I've got a panty liner in tonight. Excellent. That's a good start to the show. Are we recording?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.